My, what a delight it is for us to be here this morning, and our friends from Colorado, the Legs, that used to pastor out in Richmond when we were pastoring in Surrey, and grateful that they're with us today as well. You might be wondering why we had a teenager read the scriptures this morning. It was just me, that's all. I remembered that when I was a teenager and I had a chance to do that, I thought, well, you know, it was a thrill, so I thought maybe let's pass that on and I can give the mantle to somebody else. And Sonia did a good job in reading this morning. We're delighted to be with you. The Word of God is so very, very precious to us in these days. And we live in very critical days. If you watch the news these days, you know what could a critical hour we really are in. But we have the Word of God, and Jesus wins. Amen? And so it's going to be all right. There are a number of acquaintances that we have in our lives as we run across people, encounters that we have. Some of our encounters with people are good and some are not so good. Some are temporal and some are long-lasting. But there's no encounter that anybody has that's more rich and meaningful than the encounter that Zacchaeus had here with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is so meaningful. It's everything. Because if we've had that encounter with Him and everything is well and all is well with our soul, we'd have nothing else but to worry about. I noticed that both Jesus and Zacchaeus got what they wanted from this encounter. Jesus, of course, got the what he wanted, and that is Zacchaeus coming into his family and being his Savior. Zacchaeus coming into the fold by naming Christ as his own personal Savior, and so both were very, very blessed. I think of as the scriptures are right here before us, I think of Jesus as he's passing into Jericho, and he's passing through Jericho and on his way out. He had just healed blind Bartimaeus as he came into Jericho, and now he's passing through town. I find it most interesting that as he's walking down Main Street, that nobody is taking him seriously. Everybody is just going on their way and their own minding their own business, and they're paying no attention. You know, Jesus doesn't pass by on a regular basis. Sometimes we have to wake up to the fact that he is there and take heed to his presence. But Jericho was the place that God had wiped out previously under Joshua, and the walls came tumbling down, and Joshua and his fellows went in and made the battle and won the war, and so on. And there was a curse placed on Jericho, and that is that anybody that rebuilds that city, his oldest son would be killed. And also, anybody that rebuilt the gate that Jesus now was passing through, his youngest son would be killed. My! And now we find Jesus walking through town and passing through town, and nobody is paying any attention. But you know, it isn't always that way. Sometimes there's somebody that's going to pay attention. And sometimes it's the most least expected person is going to pay attention to what's really going on. This is the last trip that Jesus will make through Jericho as he's on his way to Passover and also to the cross to die for our sins. The last chance, and here it is. And no responses, but wait a minute, there is response. The least expected person is going to respond. His name is Zacchaeus. He responded. Least expected? Yeah, you wouldn't expect him. This is about as dramatic as it would be for Barack Obama to renounce all his affiliation with Islam and take Christ as his Savior. That's about how dramatic this really is. We can make a lot of comments on that. We'll pass on it. Some months ago, a rabbi in Brooklyn had lost his luggage, and he was in a hotel room, not having anything to do, but maybe instead of pulling out the drawers, and you're in a hotel room and you pull out the drawers, you know what you find, don't you? Right here. You find a Gideon Bible. Well, he wanted to know about his enemies and study his enemies, so he started reading the scriptures. He opened up the Bible, and it opened up to John chapter 1. He read chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. When he got into chapter 3, his body started to tremble. He realized that for the first time in his life that he didn't have the answers, and he was lost. And he cried out to Jesus to save him. Now, 327 young men had gone into the rabbinical priesthood under his leadership, and he's now taking the stand for Jesus. That's pretty dramatic. Yes, it is. It's about the same thing as we find here with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is a chief tax man in town. He's a collaborator with Rome, and because he collected the taxes and he took a ripoff from everybody, he was a very wealthy man. He was a hated man. Least expected, a hated man by everybody in the community. And yet, there was one thing that Zacchaeus had going for him. And here's what it was. He wanted to see Jesus. Now, there's nothing in life that is so wonderful than that some yearning down inside. There was a tug in his soul. There was a yearning down in there for something. Maybe there was some hope for him. There was hope for blind Bartimaeus. He got his answers. And so maybe there was hope for Zacchaeus here as well. More than just curiosity. The tug was there. Jesus said in John chapter 6, these blessed words, no man comes to the Father except the Father draw him. And here Zacchaeus is finding that there's a drawing going on in his soul, not understanding what it's all about. Jeremiah 29, we read those blessed words, oh, wonderful words. You'll find me if you search for me with all of your heart. And then in the verse 14, God says, I will be found by you. And so there's one seeking the other and one seeking the other, and they both are combined in here. I remember when I was just a boy. You won't believe that now that I'm 75, but I was a boy. There's a tent meeting going on in our town, and the music was there, and the preaching was there, and I delivered the Edmonton Journal to the people in town that are in my paper route, and I so well remember that night when I was delivering my papers, I wanted to hurry and get the job done. I drove my bike all the way across town, and I went into the meeting with my paper sack on. I sat down, and as I sat down, I was searching. Oh, I was searching. I was crying in my soul. There was a tug going on inside. The Spirit of God was drawing me. Jesus said in John 12, he says, "I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto myself." And so there was a drawing going on. There was a drawing going on in Zacchaeus' heart and life as we find it here in these scriptures. But he did have a problem. He wasn't a Norwegian. Why do I know that? He was a short fellow. You remember running, you don't kind of use short Norwegians, do you? He was a short fellow. He was 5'1", a little bit over, whatever. He was a short fellow. He couldn't see over the crowd, and the crowd hated him, so they wouldn't even let him get through to see Jesus. That's his first problem. His second problem was that he was a man of great position. Men of great position don't often come to Jesus. No, they don't really. You see, what will people say about this? And I have this position in society. It's a barrier that prevents people from coming to Christ. Now, most of you young people, I guess none of you would remember, but back in the 50s, there was a fellow that was a truck driver making $125 a month driving a truck, and a Pentecostal boy, and he quit driving a truck, and he got himself a guitar, and he started to play a new kind of music called rock and roll. Rock and roll. All right. So Elvis Presley was out visiting his mother's grave on one occasion, and Bill Kilpatrick was out visiting his mother's grave, and so the two of them got together, and Bill Kilpatrick was not going to lose the opportunity of witnessing to Elvis, and so he said to him, "Elvis, would you like to be saved?" Elvis looked at him, and he said, "You know, I really should get saved. But a guy in my position, it's very, very hard to get saved, come to Christ. And I don't know, but later on, maybe you receive Christ, I don't know. But the point is, I'm saying, is this his position stood in the way of him coming to Christ, thinking he was at this level, and who needs Jesus when you have this level of a position in society? Zacchaeus was short, he had position, but he had another problem, and that was he was rich. Now, there's nothing wrong with being rich. I mean, I think I'd like to be rich. I think I would like to be rich. I do know some people who are rich, but he was rich, and that meant that, he was wearing a Botany 500 suit. He was wearing my brother-in-law's shoes, John Fluvog's shoes. And so he found himself in that kind of a position, being very rich. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 19, he says, "A rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of God." Richness, wealth. You know, for years we've noticed that in China is the fastest growing country in the world for people coming to Christ. 30 to 35,000 people in China a day coming to Christ. Wonderful what it is. But I heard last week that in Shanghai and Beijing, Christians are now getting to the place where they're arriving a little bit financially. And I've been told that their zeal for God has been cooling off. And so leadership in China is telling us, don't pray that the persecution would go away. You pray that we'll have grace to carry on and do the work of God in the midst of our persecution. Somebody asked John D. Rockefeller one time, "Well, John, how much money does it take to make a man happy?" And his reply was, "Just a little more." Money, wealth, can be a real detriment in the matter of coming to Christ. Wealth is a thing that promises happiness, but it really doesn't deliver. And Zacchaeus, we might ask him today, we might say, "Zacchaeus, are you happy with all of your wealth?" And his answer probably would come back and say, "Not really. I got to see him today." And so what he did, he stepped over all these hurdles, he threw out his dignity, he stepped over his pride, and he didn't care what anybody said, he wanted to just get to Jesus. Isaiah 55 tells us we must seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. And if Jesus is in town and if we have a need, we better get to him, we better do it now. We don't know what that opportunity will pass by. I so well remember when the Satira twins, anybody remember the Satira twins? Some of you do, a couple of you do at least. They were holding meetings out in our hometown out there in Alberta, and an auditorium that my grandpa had built, and so on. Well, we talked my uncle Bus to come to the meetings. He came to the meetings, all right, and when the fellows were preaching, he was under heavy conviction of sin. Altar call was given, and he just hung on to the chair in front of him. He wouldn't move. And after the amen was given, like a dart, he went out. I saw him afterwards, and he said, "Gordy, that's okay for you, but not for me." His golden opportunity. Jesus was in town. Jesus was there. His opportunity to be saved. He went on in his sin, later died, not knowing Christ as his Savior and Lord. You see, what happens was we find here that Jesus sought him and Zacchaeus sought Jesus. The church over in Abbotsford has a sign on Marshall that says, God did not, I did not find God, but God found me. And so it is, you see, we can say, while we're searching, while we're searching for something that satisfies, it's really that God is seeking after us. He's still the hound of heaven seeking after us in our sin. The songwriter says, I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray, threw his loving arms around me, drew me back into the way. The Father was running down the road after the prodigal and threw his arms around him, and so glad that the prodigal had come. We never want to lose sight of the fact, folks, that the Lord Jesus Christ is seeking and searching here and there and wherever it might be to find lost sinners. The grace of God in Zacchaeus' heart prompted him to run ahead, climb up in the tree, and wait for the Lord Jesus. We read here that Jesus came to the place. What place? Well, Jesus came to the place where Zacchaeus was, up the tree. He came to that place. That place? Yeah, up that place. That's the place that Zacchaeus found, and that's where he met Jesus. Oh, yeah, that's right. For me, that place was in a gymnasium in Camrose, Alberta, at a Lutheran high school back in 1956, February 10th, 8 o'clock at night. I know Jesus saved me, because I was there when he did it. The place for Zacchaeus was up a tree. For me, it was in a gymnasium. And for my mother, it was on a sidewalk. Yeah, it really was. We had a visiting speaker in our church that was a farmer from Saskatchewan. And he was a lay preacher. And so he came and he preached on Sunday, and after church, my dad and mom walked home. We're only two blocks from the church. And my mom says to my dad, he says, you know, Ted, she says, isn't that preacher homely? He's the ugliest man I've ever seen in my life. They went back Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. On Thursday night, the Spirit of God was putting his finger on my mother, and this was the time for her to be saved. And so when she walked back to the door to shake hands with the preacher, as they always do before leaving, the preacher grabbed my mother's arm, Preacher Saugen, and he said, Laura, wouldn't you like to stay behind tonight, Laura? Oh, no, 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 no. They left the church, started walking down the sidewalk. This was like a Damascus Road experience for my dear mom. She met Jesus. She really did. She got saved. Next night, they went back to the meeting. After it was over with, my dad and mom left the church, and on their way home, my mom says to my dad, she says, Ted, isn't he handsome? Things change, you know. When God gets hold of the heart, it really does. That was her place on that sidewalk. For Zacchaeus, that place was in the tree. In that sycamore tree. All right, there, here we have it, that grace that abounds so wonderfully. And so the crowd was all around, but Jesus zeroed in and calling Zacchaeus and called him by name. It wasn't a matter, you see, it's, you're not just some entity in God's creation. He knows you personally. He knows you by name. He called him by name and said, Zacchaeus, come down. Hurry up and come down from the tree, for you and I are going to Chinese today over at your place for lunch. Nobody had ever spoken to Zacchaeus quite like that before. My wife and I were having lunch in White Rock last week with one of our grandsons, and maybe in about 6 years, some of you girls would like to meet him. But anyway, we were having lunch, and I make it a point that after we're served lunch and our waiter is writing up the tab, I got his name, and I said, Mike, I said, how may I pray for you today? He looked at me, and he said, you know, I've never had anybody ever say that to me. It led into an opportunity of witness for Christ and so on, and there it was. Zacchaeus was up the tree. Jesus calls him, Zacchaeus by name, calls him, come down from the tree. We're going to go to your house today. And Zacchaeus had never had anybody pay any attention to him in that manner and that manner at all before. Because having Jesus for lunch meant, first of all, it meant forgiveness of his sin and forgiveness of his past. And now he has this opportunity to have Jesus over at his house. Jesus had spoken to him, looked at him in the eyes, and the sound of his voice and the invitation to come. After the resurrection, as Jesus was walking down the Emmaus Road, these two ladies were there, and Jesus appears and has conversation with them and invites them over for lunch. And as they came over for lunch and so on, he talks to them, and then he disappears. And one of them then says, didn't our hearts burn within us when he spoke to us? You know, the still small voice of God as he's talking to us is so meaningful, so wonderfully meaningful. And Zacchaeus came down from the tree, and he received him. He received him joyfully. There's no other way to receive Jesus but to receive him joyfully. Peter calls it unspeakable joy that we have. By the way, do you remember that moment when you came to Christ and the joy bells that rang in your soul? Have you lost your joy? Don't lose your joy. Hang on to it. Always be rejoicing. And even in your old age, you can rejoice in what God has done for you and is meaningfully working in your life. Now, the critics were around, and they were criticizing Jesus because he would be ritually impure if he walked into a public sinner's place like this. Impure? Jesus being impure? Jesus takes impure people and makes them pure, but he is not impure. Zacchaeus, the word Zacchaeus means pure. Don't you find that interesting? Zacchaeus, all his life, has never lived up to his name of being pure. He meets Jesus and gets transformed by his grace, and now he is pure for the first time. What a wonderful thing takes place in our lives once we come to the Savior. In verse 8, we read that when he came down from the tree, that he stood. He stood there. What does it mean, he stood? Well, then now he's taking a stand for Jesus. The critics are criticizing him for Jesus for coming into his home. And as Jesus is getting criticized, he cries out and he says, Lord. In Romans 10, Paul says, if anybody confesses him as Lord and believes in his heart, confesses him as Lord. This is the first time he's ever acknowledged this. And so he classifies him Lord. You see, somewhere between the branch and hitting the floor and now confessing Jesus as Lord, somewhere in there he got saved. It's like the guy that's in the altar in the church meeting. Does he get saved when he's in the altar call is given? Does he get saved in there? Does he get saved when he's coming down the aisle? Does he get saved when he goes into the counseling room? I don't know. But I do know that he got saved under his confession there. He called him Lord. My grandson and I were on the street passing out Bibles shortly ago, a couple of weeks ago, gave away 600 Bibles. One guy took a Bible and ripped it up, threw it away, and I had to pick all that up. Another guy came along to me, and he says, you know, the Jesus was gay, and he had 11 partners, and I can prove it. I said to him, Chris, I said, that's absolute blasphemy. I went on to give him the gospel and so on. But what I'm trying to say is, Zacchaeus called him Lord, and this man called him gay. But see, some people believe on him and some don't. Some will receive him and some will not. Zacchaeus recognized that there had to be some changes that would be made in his life. When you come to Christ, you know there's got to be some changes that are going to be made. What are those changes? Well, I can either hang on to my wealth, be trusting in that, or I can take Jesus. But I can't trust in both of them. One's got to go. And so he says to Jesus, he says, "Oh, Lord, I'm surrendering all, and all to you I'm freely giving. And my childhood tells me under Moses that when I cheat anybody out of something, I give him back what I've cheated him out of, and I give him 20% on top of that. But God, I'm going to do more than that. I'm giving half of my goods to the poor folk, the food stamp folks. And then I'm going to do this. Here's what I'm going to do. Anybody I've cheated out of anything, I'm going to give him back four times. Does that make 400%? I believe it does, doesn't it? That's what I'm going to be giving. That's the way I feel about it. That's what I'm going to do." You know, when God gets hold of the heart, that salvation goes right back here to the pocketbook, doesn't it? Changed him. And so Jesus proclaims that day, and he says that salvation has come to this house. John 1:12, "To as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the right, the authority to become the sons of God." Psalm 118, we read that the Lord is our salvation. Now, we look at these words, and they are that he received him. That doesn't seem to be too complicated. He trusted him, recognized him, that he would be his Savior. A fellow was dying, and when he was dying in the hospital, he kept on quoting 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." He kept repeating the verse over and over, and as his memory was failing him, and as he was about leaving this old world, all he could remember was, "That which I have committed unto him, that which I have committed unto him, that which I have committed unto him." And as he was just leaving, he was mumbling. And in his mumble, the nurse leaned over and was listening to him as he was mumbling, "Him. Him. Him." You see, all a man really needs in this life is Jesus. You don't need anything else. And if you're leaving this world, if you've got Jesus, you're all right. Everything would be all right. Zacchaeus got Jesus, and Jesus got Zacchaeus. My question for you would be that, have you had the encounter of receiving Jesus? Now, it might seem strange to most of you if I would say that in this setting. Good, solid preaching, wonderful hymns, wonderful testimony of people around you. But you know, I've been walking with Jesus for 58 years, and I've had the surprise of my life under some circumstances. Kind of reminds me of the time when a guy was preaching the gospel to us in chapel at Bob Jones University. And in his message, he said, "You know, I pastored a church." That was a Baptist church. I realize they're not quite as good as Presbyterians. We know that. "But I was pastoring a Baptist church for 9 years. That means preaching in the morning, preaching at night, preaching Wednesday night, everything in between. 9 years. And one Sunday morning, under my own preaching, The Spirit of God convicted me of my sin, drew me to Himself, wooed me to come to Him. I repented and came to Christ and got saved. So when I say to you this morning, have you been born again? Have you had the encounter? Are you still in the treetop? Have you come down out of the tree and personally received the Lord Jesus? Can you give an account? Do you know for sure if you were to die today that you'd go to heaven? We find in the 10th verse the purpose of this whole encounter with Jesus and His whole ministry to us is to seek and to save that which was lost. Are you saved? Do you know for sure? Have you had the encounter of receiving Him as Savior and Lord? Let's pray.